before Big Ben's throw, before Santonio Holmes' catch, before Pittsburgh became Sixburg, there were doubts. There was a daunting schedule. There was a dominant defense. This is the season. 2008 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Welcome, Steelers Nation. I am Bryant McFadden, your host and cornerback on the 2008 Pittsburgh Steelers. On this podcast, I'll revisit our Super Bowl run from a decade ago with former teammates and coaches, delivering you behind-the-scenes insights and memories on the biggest plays, personalities from that memorable season. Let's get to this week's game and guests.
Steelers fans, we're back. I'm Bryant McFadden, getting ready to break down another big-time Steeler win, Week 17 matchup, the final game of the 2008 season. The Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Cleveland Browns, a divisional foe. Of course, we wanted to find a way to finish the season on a good note, already having everything wrapped up as far as playoff seeding. We were guaranteed a first-round bye. Not a lot to play for, but knowing the situation and knowing that we would have an extra week off, we wanted to be able to get the starters involved, not to mention have quality role players get an opportunity to show up and play big-time football. And because of that, it was only appropriate for me to have a big-time contributor. Week 17 had a huge impact in the game, not just in that game, but the entire season, a quality vet on and off the football field. This Week 17 matchup, Steeler fans, this defensive player had a huge game. They had the best performance of that ball game coming from the defensive side. This player had three tackles, one assist, came through with two big-time interceptions for a total of 50 yards. He even took one back to the house. And the unique thing about this player, as we go throughout this ball game and we recap this ball game, he had an incident that happened early in the ball game. And we will talk about that as we go along. But let me introduce Steeler fans, a guy that you all love, you all cheered on, 11-year NFL pro, fourth round pick out of Minnesota in 2000, was a two-time first team All-American, also won the Jim Thorpe Award in college. Goes to the best defensive back in college football. He joined the Steelers in 2004, spent six seasons in Pittsburgh, a two-time Super Bowl champion, Tyrone Carter. Thank you for joining me to recap this Week 17 matchup.
Oh, appreciate it, B-Mac, but make sure you get all my statistics right. You know, you're a statistic guy. Make sure you don't miss my accolades, man.
What did I miss?
I was a two-time consistent All-American. Don't you forget that now.
Okay.
You know what consistency is, right?
Yeah, two-time consensus All-American. I'm sorry, I forgot that. I'm glad that you were able to point that out.
Now. Make sure you get that now. I've been doubted all my life, B-Mac. But then you want to do me too. You my homie now.
You're right.
What you got for me?
Hey, if I miss something, that's what good teammates do. You got to be able to pick up the slack, right or wrong.
All day in America. That's what we do, man.
Hey.
I just had to get to you now, because see, you get me excited about that 2008 season, man.
I'm getting you fired up.
Talking about that 17, this year. You know, I always stay fired up. What y'all call me? Starter?
No question. Little pistol starter.
You know?
Hey, listeners, Tyrone nickname was Little Pistol Starter because, of course, he was, as far as measurables, he wasn't the tallest of the tallest guy around. But boy, when you talk about looking to get in a fight, on and off the football field, Little Pistol Starter would get it cracking at any given time. And it showed a lot on the field in game of play. Tyrone, talking about your 11-year career, you had an opportunity. Like I said, you got drafted, by the Minnesota Vikings. You also played for the Jets. You also played for the San Diego Chargers. At that time, they were San Diego Chargers. What separated the Steelers from the other franchises that you played with?
Man, to me, I think collectively from the top down, man, the owners, everybody was the same. Nobody looked at each other that they was different. You know, there wasn't a different set of groups within that team. Man, to see the owner come there every day, man, and to see practice, watch what's going on, to be in a park. I'm coming from Minnesota where only time the owner come there is something was wrong. But to see the Roonies was there with us every practice, eating dinner with us, eating breakfast with us, talking to us, wasn't far around it. And not to mention my teammates, man. My teammates, when you talking about family, man, that was family. When they said Band of Brothers, Coach Kyle would take us to the movies, go watch that Band of Brothers at training camp. And I didn't really understand it at first. When he first took us, I'm like, man, what are you taking us to watch Band of Brothers for? This football, we should watch a football movie, something. But we get in there, man, and, you know, to see that message about having your brother's back, your brother's keeper, you there. And to see that when I got there, everybody hung together, everybody did stuff together, and the close-knitted family that it was, man, it made playing that game much easier. It's like playing with your brothers. Can you imagine going around the world playing with your brothers, your family, every day? For a game, man, that made my day every day there more precious. That made me practice to make sure I'm accountable, to give my best for them, because they did the same thing for me. And that showed, if you look at it, man, we was a close-knitted team. You know, we had each other back when things went wrong. We weren't afraid to step up and say something. Nobody had no issues. It was an unselfish team, man. It was an unselfish team, B-Mac. I tell you, I got there in 04, and the thing that got me the most is Deuce Daly came over there, too, at the same time. And I played against Deuce Daly when I was with Minnesota Vikings. I started in the NFC Championship game, played my freshman year and everything, my rookie year and everything. But Deuce Daly was a scat back. I know, going over to Pittsburgh, Jay Peoples over there, that's a power back. Now, he's been a stellar the whole time, the stud, everything. So when they brought Deuce Daly over there, man, you would think, you know, Jerome would have been mad because they just put him ahead of him, took his reps. And everything, JB ain't did that. JB stayed right there, taught him, teached him, and became a player. Everybody looking like, dang, he, you know, but he wouldn't do that. I took away from that, man, that he didn't waver. He helped Deuce Daly out, and when Deuce Daly got hurt, he didn't skip a beat when he got there. He had more yards than Deuce Daly did and took us all the way to the end, man. Took us to the NFC Championship game. And so that year we lost to New England, but just to see that, man, and that team came closer after that year, too, B-Mac, that was carried into when you got there to be the luckiest rookie I've ever seen to come there and get to come on a team that was well-fitted, well-coached, and to win a Super Bowl your first year, you had to be the luckiest cat, bro. And then to get you two of them, man, that's two a blessing. Four. But at the end of the day, man, that organization from the top down, man, I'm telling you, I love it, man. I love them. Still today, man. You know that, B-Mac.
Most definitely. Now, Steeler fans, listeners, it's time to set the scene. Week 17 matchup kickoff, 1:02 p.m. They're in Pittsburgh, 48 degrees. And when you look at the Steelers playing pretty good football, of course, going into this ball game, as far as with the gambling aspect, we're 11.5-point favorite. We entered the ball game 11-4. The Cleveland Browns entered the ball game 4-11. Like I said early on, we had everything locked up pretty much. We knew what we were going to do as far as playoffs. I think we were the second seed in the playoffs, so that guaranteed us a first round bye, not to mention a home game in the playoffs. Starters were going to play. Big Ben played. Hines played. Defensively, you know, the majority of the starters played. James Harrison did not play. I think he had an issue with his hip. Lawrence Timmons filled in for James Harrison. Ryan Clark didn't participate. You filled in for Ryan Clark. So TC, as a vet and also being a part of a Super Bowl winning team already with the 05 championship team, folk, can you give us a little insight as far as the mentality entering game, both from the team standpoint and personally knowing that everything was already solidified for us?
Well, the answer to your question to me, B-Mac, we didn't look in losing in 04, man, as a team. We wanted to make sure we take every game accountable. We didn't take no game off. And as a role player, you know, when your name is called, you got to be able to answer that bell. We didn't look at it as if, oh, we got rest. We got it sealed right now into the playoffs. The playoff is just the playoff. You dare. You can get to the playoff, but who go on one winner? Only one winner. So our mindset from 04, after that 04 season, was making sure when we get there, we seize our opportunity. And going into that week 17, man, and we knew the starters weren't going to play as much games, you know, and we got to make sure as a team, you carrying that momentum into the playoffs. You want to lose that last game and then thinking that, oh, you don't rest your guys and thinking that, we could catch up on that other game. No, you want to carry that momentum. And as a role player, you want to make sure you're not skipping the beat. That was the mindset back then is no matter who in there, that expectation for that position don't change. We still got to play at a high level. You still got to compete. And that was our team goal at the same time. But individually for myself, D-Max, man, I done been there, man. I done been to places where, you know, we thought we had it in the bag. We played in Minnesota in 2000 season. We go down to New York Giants, and they goose egg us 4-2-0. You know, we had the on paper, we had the best team in the NFL. But that don't mean anything if you ain't ready to play the game. And going into that as an individual for myself, man, I just was happy and excited at the same time that I wanted to let my teammates know, man, I'm ready. I'm ready. When my number is called, I want you guys to understand that, hey, I'm here to make plays. I'm here to try to help us win this championship, because that's what we're trying to do. So we didn't let up, man. We didn't let up. So when we played Cleveland, it didn't matter who we played. That was another game, another opportunity for me to continue to start my quest of making things happen and get that, help us win that world champ.
No question. We're able to do that. The Cleveland Browns, of course, struggled throughout the 2008 season, but we did not want to lose the last ball game because we wanted to take positive momentum into the playoffs. Like you mentioned, TC, a very, very slow first quarter. Cleveland Browns, their first drive of the game was their longest of the game. Jamal Lewis had four carries. Braylon Edwards, Dante Stallworth, Josh Cribbs all had receptions from Bruce Gronkowski, who started, that was his only start of the season. And talking about Dante Stallworth, he had a huge reception. It's a quick pass, now pass. That's when you see the quarterback throw the ball directly to the wide receiver instantly. Was able to make a few defenders miss. But on the tackle, Tyrone Carter came up with a big time hit, went low on Dante, ended up flipping him. And as I recap this ball game watching it, I forgot that My homeboy, TC, actually went to sleep during that play. and the thing about Tyrone, listeners, we used to joke about him all the time because he had a knack for going to sleep. And when I say going to sleep, I mean getting concussed. And every, I'll say, I'll give him a four game stretch where he might have four games without going to sleep. But boy, that fifth game, he's going to take that prom escort to the sideline. And as I recall and I look at the video recap and getting ready for this podcast, I saw Tyrone Carter the first quarter of the ball game lay a big time hit on Dante, but he was asleep. He was a dead body on the football field, wasn't moving at all. And he got up. I know Big Hamp came from the sideline, and at that time we got the information as far as when someone is knocked out, don't touch him and make them stay down. But you know, TC, we used to pick at him all the time. So he tried to find a way to walk off the football field. And boy, when I say he was a drunk body. But the unique thing about that, TC, and I'm pretty sure you remember that, was that you went out for a few plays. You know, he went out for a few plays, but he was able to return to action. And that's the difference with the concussion protocol then compared to now, because if you go to sleep, you're not going back in the ball game. And
you ain't going back.
No. And that was the toughness that you had, because you didn't play you've had what, two or three plays in the first quarter, didn't play anymore in the first quarter. You went to sleep. You went and took that prom escort, that prom picture, you know. And like I told you guys all the time, listeners, imagine taking your prom date to prom, and you know how you walk with a young lady and you escort her on the sideline. That's what the trainers do back then. When anybody got concussed.
Look at that black mongoose. What are you going to tell the people when you went to sleep?
TC, I never went to sleep out there, TC. I did. I lied. I'm sorry.
B-Mac, you going to tell that lie?
I didn't go to sleep as much as you. TC, you probably had about 5-6 concussions a year.
You ain't a thugger, though, B-Mac. You ain't a thugger. One thing going to happen, you know what I'm going to do. Either you going to put me to sleep or I'm going to put your butt to sleep.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, you got put to sleep.
That's going to happen, B-Mac.
Yeah, you right. Now, you was in the line of fire a lot more than I did, and I used to put my head in the fan, too. But I think I had a tougher jaw than you did, because, boy, you was going to sleep consistently. You probably had that 2008 season. You probably had 6 or 7 concussions. I probably had about 4 or 5. You had everybody beat.
I had documented 11, to tell you the truth, but I didn't give a jack. I didn't care. I didn't care, B-Mac. long as I can come by some assistance, I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah.
See and, what happened, B-Mac? Mm-hmm. Look what happened, B-Mac. I get knocked out. Right?
Yep.
Then I come back, I get me two picks. Right?
We're going to talk about that. That's why I wanted to pinpoint that, because as I watched the game, I realized, I said, wait a minute, number 23, he on the sideline with his helmet removed, looking like he's trying to get himself together. Didn't play anymore, but then as the course of the ball game go, I see 23 emerge once again. And that first quarter, that was the last appearance in the first quarter, getting escorted off the football field by our outstanding trainers, John Norwood and company.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
As we continue to go on in the first quarter, like I said, it's a very, very slow start for both offenses. The Cleveland Browns, their first drive was their longest drive, but it came to a standstill. We ended up forcing a point. Our offense didn't do anything. Cleveland Browns got the ball back, and once again on the Steelers 36, favorable field position. I was able to end that series with a big time sack on Bruce Gronkowski. Knowing that the Cleveland Browns offense was struggling, knowing they had a first time starter at the quarterback position, how did you attack that game plan, Tyrone, knowing that you will be starting? Now, granted, at that time in the first quarter, like I said, you were not in the game action, but as far as game prep, what was that process like for you, knowing you're playing against a bad team and playing against a first-time starter?
Well, playing against a bad team and a first-time starter, when they got Jamal Lewis back there, that's a great back.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Watching from film study, he likes to get Jamal Lewis. They like to get Jamal Lewis the ball out of the backfield to use that speed and his quickness and to lose some of the foot defenders that's coming to him. But at the end of the day, I had to make sure he had to get him some completions in. What a quarterback do to get their completions in? They want to hit the short route,
mm-hmm.
The check down. And knowing that we got a defense that was stingy, and you just stopped him already, so his mind already thinking about, I got to get rid of this ball real fast. So to me, I was looking at, from film study, Jamal, every time he either Zen motion or flat, or belay out of there, I'm going to watch him and see if the quarterback look at it. So as soon as I watched him and seen the quarterback look at him, man, hey, man, it's time to go.
Yep.
Those cups are loaded.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, that's what self study comes in effect. And you can't never underestimate your opponent, man. I never say it's some bad teams or starter teams. Only thing I say is a good team will gain a record sometimes, man. Some things don't go their way. Mm-hmm. So NFL, the margin of winning is about 3 points. You want to play away from winning, want to play away from losing. So at the end of the day, it's all about that battle-tested team that can withstand all the adversities that ever flow in the game. And the ones that withstand it the most are the ones that usually win that game. And with Cleveland Browns, you know how that goes, B-Mac. They're going to give us their best shot the first quarter. And all of a sudden, here we go again. So we all know when you're playing teams like that, you can't never underestimate a team because you know they're going to come out there and give you their best. But if you let that momentum go on their side for a minute, and sometimes you probably don't get it back.
Yeah.
You know, so at the end of the day, man, it was a blessing. We turned to be world champs. They were one team away from us to continue that momentum that we had started that year. And we want to continue to go, man. We want to reach for the ceiling, as Coach T would say.
No question. Like I said, it was a very, very slow first quarter for both offenses. Both defenses played pretty good football. A scoreless first quarter. And you talk about Cleveland playing us tight, especially early in the ball game. That proves your point, because their defense played real good football and they were going blow for blow with us. the best defense at that time in 2008. But in the second quarter, Big Ben and the crew, they finally woke up. 20-yard completion to Heath Miller. Next play, Willie Parker rips off a 34-yard scamper for the first score of the ball game. Steelers up 7-0. Throughout that ball game, Willie Parker, Fast Willie is what we like to call him, 23 carries for 116 yards and one touchdown versus the Cleveland Browns. That was his first 100-yard performance since week five. He came off, he was coming off a 13-yard season the year before. Health-wise, he had issues when you look at 2007 and 2008. When he was healthy, how important was Willie Parker for our offense in 2008?
Oh, man, he was very important, man. He was very important. You know, he gave us that big spark we needed at times. Them big runners, you're going to see him coming. You know, getting that extra yardage at the same time. He's a hungry young gunner trying to set the tone for himself, make his name for himself in the NFL. So we wanted to ride off that, man. And he helped us out a lot, especially, you know, when we needed a big play. You know, instead of using Big Ben all the time, you know, and Willie Parker, that's what we used to call him. Big play Willie Parker, man.
Yeah.
Almost with Willie Gay. But at the end of the day, man, he wanted to be, you know, with the Steelers, eating that clock up was very important for Coach Tower, man. That was very important back then. You know, time management. When you're trying to win games, you got to make sure you're eating that clock out. That's the first time moving the chains as an offense. And having a double-edged sword by killing with the run game and the passing, that helps you offensively a lot. So your chances of winning most of those games is as a plus if you're able to continue to do that. So Willie did a great job for us in that run, especially. If you look at the Super Bowl, he did the same thing, man. Did the same thing. Had the longest run in the Super Bowl the year before that, our first Super Bowl. So, man, I was excited, man. I was excited. And, you know, it's going to be Mac. Let's go hands and hands for an offense. That's what gets things going. So, he was great.
Now we're off to the second quarter, just under 2 minutes to go in the second quarter. Big Ben still in the ball game. Remember, Steeler fans, TC, Big Ben was only supposed to play a half. So he was almost, to his limit as far as reps, as far as pitch count. But right before halftime, Big Ben, hit on a completion. He was hit by Willie McGinnis and DaQuell Jackson. Big Ben was down on the football field for at least 15 minutes. You know, trainers came out. Steelers, the entire medical staff came out. Eventually, Big Ben gives a thumbs up as he was carted off the football field. He wasn't, helped off. He wasn't limping off. He was carted off the football field. His head and neck was in a neck. His neck was stabilized and it was basically, alleged concussion. What was your thought process, TC, on the sideline, knowing that Big Ben was only supposed to play a half of play, knowing that the half was almost over? And then not to mention, you see his neck stabilize, knowing that he is our franchise quarterback. And granted, we had a week off, but not knowing exactly the severity of the injury. What was your thought process?
Man, it was tough seeing your star player go down like that. And in a game, like in the magnitude where we say he ain't supposed to play, but you know how it goes, B-Mac. You can't say they should have put him out before then. You know, who knows to say that they didn't want to continue to play, man. You know how that goes, but. Yeah. This game was tough to see your guys go down like that. But at the end of the day, we know defensively, hey, man, we got to step up. We got to step up. You know what I mean? We got to do it, you know?
No question. And talking about role players and experienced vet, at that time, Byron Leftwich filled in for Big Ben when he was carted off the football field with around 40 seconds left to go. Byron Leftwich replaces Big Ben and promptly scrambles for an 8-yard touchdown run. We go into half leading 14-0. Talk about experienced role players embracing their roles. What was Byron's value to the team on the field in the locker room, knowing that he had started the majority of his career up until that point down in Jacksonville, knowing that if something was to happen to Big Ben, we had a guy that knew what it meant to play under the big time lights. How did you see his value to our team at that time?
At that time, I think it was value, but we know Byron Leftwich can sling that ball. but he can't get out that pocket.
Well, he scrambled for a touchdown now. He scrambled for a nice big time touchdown run.
I guarantee you, I said, what would you like to be, man? What do you say? What you want to be, man? I guarantee you, like, no, man.
Hey, we all were saying that on the sideline because it looked like he was running in slow motion. It looked like he was pulling a safe. But he made a guy miss, and he scored, and he amazed everybody. Remember, we were joking about him on the sideline looking like Bambi, the reindeer? but every now and then a dog will get a bone, right?
Oh, without a doubt, man. But knowing Byron Leftwich has value, man. He's a former first-rounder. You know, he played a lot of games, so we know he was experienced. We're going to get in there, you know what I mean, piss down his legs. He's going to go down and fight, get his best shot, go around. We know he's giving his best shot. We okay, man. Like I said, you know, you already know. We said the defense gonna take us as far as we go.
No question.
You know, we got to get Ben more touches. So that was our motto the whole season.
Halftime, we go in, of course, up 14-0 defensively. You know, they don't score, we win the ball game. Cleveland Browns offense, if they do not score, we win the ball game, knowing that Byron Leftwich will finish the ball game out. And that was the ideal plan, but unfortunately he came in a little earlier than expected because of Big Ben's injury. Now, third quarter takes off. Defense, we're back on the football field doing what we do best. The starting free safety is back, Tyrone Carter. He makes a big time return to the ball game, and instantly his impact is felt. That Tyrone picks off Gronkowski, he returns it 18 yards, setting up a Jeff Reed field goal. Now we go up 17-0. When you look at the depth, especially in our secondary, a strong suit for our defense. At the time, we had the number one secondary in the league. When you look at the depth, how important was it for different players to step in and consistently make plays and force turnovers? Because at that time, we were dominating the league as far as turnovers and sacking the quarterback. And those two stats, they go hand in hand when you ask any quality defensive mind, player or coach. But how critical was the depth that we had in the secondary?
Oh, man, the depth we had in the secondary played a very important part of us defensively, being in the top defense. And not only, you know, winning Super Bowls, because you know how it goes, D-Mac. If you ain't got enough DBs out there, man, they're going to pick you apart. And your depth ain't right. You know, once your guys go down, it's over with for you. But the depth that we had, man, it was, man, you weren't skipping the beat no matter who was in the game. And to have that on a team, that's a plus, D-Mac, because no matter what, every guy looked at himself as a starter anyway, but they know he was going to get a chance to play. And our mindset was, when your number's called, you answer the bell. You answer the bell. And while the other guys is out there, you're going to support him. You're going to continue to, you know, be in the game. You're going to have him cut him back. You're going to look at him, give him something to do. You're going to let him know what he's doing, so you're paying attention. You ain't mad. You ain't moping. You know what I mean? That's the thing that I like about our football. We don't care. We know whoever was up at that time. It was his time. We're going to support him. And everything, and your time is your time.
No question.
You're gonna seize it. And I think that helped us.
No, and I think that played a big part in our success, because even though we competed against each other, we cheered for each other also. One man make a play, we felt like we all made a play. We was a very, very selfless group, and it really showed week in and week out. Now we transition to the fourth quarter. The Steeler defense continues to dominate, being able to capitalize on Tyrone Carter's interception. Your former Minnesota Gopher, Gary Russell, he comes in the ball game. He pinches it in from a 3-yard touchdown run. We continue to improve on our score at that time. A little bit under 9 minutes left to go. Tyrone Carter makes his second big play, intercepts Gronkowski once again. Jamal Lewis tipped the ball. Tyrone being in the ideal place at the right time. He picks the ball off, returns it for a big time touchdown. TC, when you look at your memories from that play, talk about that play, going through the motions, and also what does it feel like to score a defensive touchdown?
Oh, man, I can tell you the play right now.
You remember the play?
Diamond Way, weak Cobra White.
Okay, Diamond Way, weak Cobra White. I know what that play is.
I got Troy in the game.
Hold on, wait a minute. And that's what we got to do here. We got to take advantage of these moments and these opportunities, because, you know, TC, there are a lot of people that are listening to us. They would never be in an NFL huddle. They would never be in an NFL meeting room, defensive back meeting room.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably, they
mm-hmm.
would never be around a championship team, right? So with that being said,
correct.
Break down Dime Away, weak Cobra White. What's that coverage? Break it down.
Down the way weak Cobra White is, we're coming from the weak side with our weak side corner.
Yep.
Is blitzing.
Yep.
The safety is dropping down, playing, we call it vertical hook almost, or a flat curl. You know what I mean? Playing a cover two with a safety over top of him. And that was me. That supposed to have been Troy. Troy switched, told me to switch with him.
Troy wanted
he
to blitz.
He's going to be over top of me. He's thinking Grant Kyson finna go for the long one.
Oh, so Troy, tell everybody about Troy. Hey. Troy would switch up things and tell you go one way.
Switch up on a minute, man.
Yeah,
on
yeah, Troy would switch up for you quick, try to get that play. So Troy moves you down the play.
He switched the wrong play.
Yeah.
I got it. Because it fooled him.
Yeah.
The hot route, I think you wouldn't need the game.
I wasn't, I was the one that blitzed. I was the weak corner.
Yeah,
I blitzed because I came scot free. Because what happened was Jamal Lewis checked out. He didn't stay in the block. So I came scot free. I think it was me and Lawrence on that blitz. So I came scot free. So he had to get the ball out quick because I was going to get a sack. And that's when he threw it. Jay Lou wasn't ready and he tipped the ball and it hit you right there in the hands.
I'm right there. It hit me right there in my hand. Cause I was coming to be Matt.
Yeah, and Troy.
Dropping down.
Yeah, you were supposed to be the half safety. You were supposed to be the half safety, but Troy must have felt like Gronkowski would take a shot and ended up telling you to move. And see, that's the thing about Troy listeners. Whenever Troy tell you to move, we didn't ask any questions. We just move.
We answer no questions.
You're like, oh, here we go.
No
right. Okay,
well,
what
I
you want to do?
One thing, B-Man.
What happened?
You playing out there with Troy. You're going to go with Troy at. You're going to be the Troy, what you doing? What you doing, Troy?
Oh, no question.
Oh, Troy gonna go over three zones, man.
Yeah.
Troy gonna go over three zones.
Yeah. So, TC, scoring a touchdown on that play. And the crazy part about it, listeners, remember I said Tyrone was knocked out of the ball game in the first quarter. He didn't return until the third quarter. So that talk about the toughness and the mentality and how the game has changed to where we are present day. But scoring a touchdown, TC, what does that mean? How does that feel? Scoring a touchdown.
Well, you
defensive
know,
touchdown. Yeah,
you
defensive
know that,
touchdown.
That feels awesome as defensively because you don't very seldom get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do get it and get it in the end zone, man, that count twice. You got a pick six, you got a pick, and you got a six two at the same time.
Yeah.
Man, you can't have it no better way as a defensive back. You don't want it no better way, B, man. You know, when I was in college, I like to knock cats out. I just get the ooh ah. But y'all done taught me about catching the ball and going in the end zone and now I can dance on their head. I got a pick 60.
Yes, sir. Hey, TC, what did you do with that football? Do you still have it?
Yeah, I got that. Do I got that? I think I do be making my, I got to look at my ball. All the balls I got. Well, I'm going to show it. Matter of fact, I'm going to take a picture of it today. I'm going to take a picture of it today. Yeah, I got him, man. I got all my picks, man.
You got all your
I
picks.
I got Brett Favre.
And you got to have that pick six. Yeah, no question.
I got all them, man.
No question. And because of that touchdown, that was the final score from the Pittsburgh Steelers. We go on to win 31-0. We close out the regular season 12-4. When it comes to winning ball games, also in the manner in which we won that ball game, how satisfying is it to record a shutout?
To record a shutout defensively, that's always a bonus, man. It's always you might as well tip your hats off to yourself, man, to pitch a no-hitter.
No
question. You know what I mean? You guys can't get in the end zone defensively as a professional, man, I don't care who you playing.
Yeah.
That's great for defensively.
It is.
That's great. That helps you in your ranking as well.
And real quick, let me jump in. You said you made a key big time statement as far as football fans. They see shutouts totally different than what we see shutouts as players. And I say that because it's so difficult for NFL defenses to get shutouts because I don't care how bad the opposing team is. Anything can happen as far as 3 points, getting a safety or just having luck on your side and driving down to score a touchdown. And the difficulty in getting a shutout, I would compare that to seeing a pitcher get a no hitter in baseball. You don't see that
exactly.
Often. And whenever you do see it, far as baseball, it's a big story. It's a big story. Now you may see shutouts more often than no hitters when it comes to pitchers in baseball, but it's on the same level for us as players. when you don't get allow one touchdown, 1 point, that's a big, big deal. And I don't care who you're playing against, because those individuals, they get big time paychecks the same way we do. But to be able to pitch a shutout, listeners, I compare that to seeing a pitcher pitch a no hitter. You don't see it as often as far as no hitters, but it's on the same level when you talk about getting that perspective from players, former players, players or former players, in my opinion. It's a huge accomplishment. Now, when you look at what we were able to do, looking at the 2008 season, finishing 12-4, had a few injuries. Of course, the Big Ben injury, and I'm going to read a statement from Mike Tomlin's post-game interview. No further injuries were revealed from Big Ben's test at the hospital. We're optimistic of where he's going to be. Again, it is encouraging. At that point, what was your personal opinion about Big Ben, knowing we did have a week off, but knowing the second round would be right around the corner? Did you expect to see him play in the second round?
Without a doubt. You know, knowing Ben, you know Ben. You know, you've been around him. He gonna show y'all. He battle tested, man.
Yeah.
He's a tough son of a gun, man. He won quarterback this year. It's hard to get down, man. He's a fighter. He's a competitor. So knowing Big Ben, he ain't gonna miss this game. He ain't missing the playoffs. If we got a bye week too, give him a couple weeks to go. He'll be ready for the first game. Our job was to, no matter who gonna be ready, make sure we got a backup if he's not.
No question. Now, what's next for the Steelers, 2008 season? Of course, we had a bye week. We talked about that bye week for the wild card game. Instantly, we're in the divisional round matchup because of the success we had throughout the season. That matchup would either be, at that time, we weren't sure who we would play. So it would either be the Chargers, the Colts, or the Ravens. Three teams we played previously throughout the year. How did the team approach the break in between games, and what opponent did you prefer to play, if you had any?
Man, I tell you one thing. B-Mac, you know as well as I know. At that time, I think all the teams was hot. All the teams was hot, I believe. San Diego was going on the road, and they had 4 or 5 games winning streak, I believe. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken. But to me, I didn't care who we played. I know we're going to have a home game, and I like our chances with any one of those three games, any one of those three teams. I like our chances. But, you know, everybody want to play Baltimore because they know that's a hard game. But at the end of the day, we would like to play them. We play them 2 times in the regular season.
Yep.
Then we got to come back and play them. I think we want to play Baltimore because I think they beat us 2 times that season.
No, they didn't. They didn't beat us at all. In 2008, we swept them. So we was going for the trifecta against them. If we would play them again, we'd have beat them. It would have been 3 times in a row. So the first 2 times we played them. I remember the second game in Baltimore was a close ball game. That's Santonio Holmes catch where he toe tapped on the goal line. Yeah, in the end zone.
Goal line.
Yeah. Mm. So you know what though? I agree with you because we were so hot. It didn't really matter in knowing that we had at least one game in Heinz Field with the way our defense was playing. It really didn't matter. And the unique thing about those teams, all three teams had pretty good quarterback play. Phillip Rivers, the Chargers, of course, Peyton Manning with the Colts. And at that time, Joe Flacco, young quarterback, was playing pretty good football. So entering the playoffs and knowing playoffs football, that's where the elite quarterbacks stand up. Not knowing who the quarterback will be as far as at that time playing Cleveland. How did you prepare the week of, not knowing exactly who you would play and what quarterback you would see during that bye week?
Well, I prepared for all three. We played them all the time, so I went back to my notes, seeing what I had down there when we played them, watched some of the ending of their last game to see if they do any change-ups. I know since we don't play them, they don't have a little wrinkle, so what I went back to all the plays that we had mistakes in to see, no matter what, they face us, see if they're going to try to attack us and make sure if I made a mistake, I didn't make that same mistake if I seen that same formation. So, like I said, B-Mac, man, right then and there, man, we right there. We knew we got 3 games. We win 3 games. We'll be crowned world champs. They're 1 game ahead. They're 1 game in our way. The next guy up, we want to make sure we execute our assignment, go out there and play the best football we can play, and you know, come away with the win the best way we can. And that's all our mindset was during that time to me.
Yeah.
Defensively.
Well, and as the wild card weekend took place, eventually the Chargers won the ball game. And that's what's next for us, Steeler listeners, as we continue to recap this 2008 season. The next matchup we will recap is the second round playoffs. The Pittsburgh Steelers will be hosting the San Diego Chargers. They're in Heinz Field. We know it's a five-star matchup because we're in it, a primetime affair. As the road to Tampa starts during the next podcast, but before we get off this outstanding Week 17 recap, I got to thank once again my homeboy Tyrone Carter, 11-year pro, two-time consensus college All-American.
There we go.
One-time Jim Thorpe Award winner, Minnesota Gopher, arguably the best defensive back in Gopher history. Fourth-round pick out of Minnesota in 2000 by the Minnesota Vikings. He was a two-time All-American also. Two-time first-team All-American at Minnesota. Also a two-time Super Bowl. It's a lot of two times going on right now throughout this whole accolades I'm reading.
You know I was Deuce, man. You know I was Deuce, man. You know I was Deuce. But stop forgetting to put my consistent All-American.
I got it. I missed it in the intro, but yeah. I got it in the outro.
Yeah, you got to get, yeah, man. You got to go in and got to come out.
Yeah.
When you go in as a consistent, you're going to come out as a consistent.
Yeah.
Don't tell me, man.
Hey.
Hello, baby.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you for inviting me, man.
Man,
I hope you had a good time, man. They just let the viewers know, man. We were different, man. That Steelers class, man, from the 04 all the way to 2008, 2010 to me, I think arguably the best organization on in the NFL, the best team collectively,
yeah.
Brotherly, bond organization. I love the Steelers.
No question. Steelers fans, they love you too. Until next time, go Steelers.
Subscribe to the season 2008 Steelers on iTunes and anywhere else podcasts are found. So you're up to date on our episodes that are released each Monday up until the Super Bowl. Until then, in the words of legend Dick LeBeau, adios.